Let's face it, getting a quote for car repair can be a real show. Not at OnSite Auto Body Solutions. Here, our process is painless, and we'll get you safely back on the road in a car that looks and feels factory fresh. Don't get over by big insurance companies. You have a choice on who can repair your car, and we'd be honored if you chose us. We only use factory parts and have a lifetime warranty on all our work. Stop by today, where estimates are always free.
Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 12-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Dragon Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good morning. It is Joe Kane Day in the Port City. You're tuned in to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Only today is a Sip and Chew with Mike-less Stu. Mike's still over in Gulfport from handling all of the bacon duties that Danny Calmette asked him to do. So I'm going to be handling the show solo today. Mike's got a bacon hangover, Steve.
A bacon hangover. Hmm. Yeah. Somebody baked his hangover?
No. So let's just go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room, or should I say the tiger in the room.
Wow. Yeah. That wasn't even 30 seconds.
No,
I'm impressed.
No. The Auburn Tigers are your SEC regular season champion. It's been a historical run. I think we can now say at this point, greatest SEC team in history.
Sure. Fair enough.
Because this was the deepest the SEC's ever been. I mean, we're probably going to have three teams that are number one seeds. The record for the most teams from one conference in the tournament is 8 by the Big East. The SEC is looking at between 12 and 14 this year.
Wow.
So, Hardest conference in college basketball history, and Auburn has won it with only one loss.
So far. Well, I guess that's just regular season.
It's over at this point. I mean, they won it with two games left to go.
Yeah.
With Tennessee and Alabama and Florida all legitimate candidates to be number one seeds.
Yeah.
So it's been a remarkable year. It was a remarkable day for Auburn. Baseball upset number 9 Oregon State out in Dallas. Equestrian, we got the horsies, man.
Right.
Auburn's all about the horsies, so we trampled all over the Bulldogs of Georgia. Women's softball, which they have a new coaching head coaches this year. Mm-hmm. They hired a husband and wife team. They're 18-1 on the year.
Wow.
So it's a good day to be an Auburn Tiger. And Alabama and Tennessee, an instant classic, that game yesterday. Absolute classic. With Tennessee hitting a half-court buzzer beater to win the game.
Mm.
And that win handed Auburn the undisputed.
Yeah.
They had already clinched when they went into Rupp Arena, which is the Grand Ole Opry House of college basketball. It is the Carnegie Hall of college basketball. And Auburn had not won there since I was a sophomore in college, 1988.
37 years ago.
Yep. And BTA, if you don't know what it means, Google it. But
Okay, I'm on it.
But that is what Auburn did yesterday in Rupp Arena, and I couldn't be prouder. It's these young men, and we forget about this, but these are still – it doesn't matter if they're getting paid. They're still college kids.
Yeah.
Because every other college kid has been allowed to have a job and get paid while going to college, except for athletes. When I was a music student, I could pick up gigs on the weekend and play for money.
Yeah.
There was no rule saying that I had to drop out of marching band if I did that. The rules were stupid. Math majors can make money tutoring students.
Correct.
In math. History majors can tutor students in math and make money from it while they're still going to school. So it was, and the Supreme Court was right. It was a violation of their civil rights.
Sure.
To not let them do it. But they're still kids and they're still having fun. And that, and to me, the fun of sports is watching a team come out of the gate stumbling, struggle, overcome those struggles, and go on to success, whether that be a national championship or not. Some of my favorite Auburn football teams were the ones where they won an SEC title, but they weren't in the running for the national championship. But watching them build through the whole year, as Pat Dye said, wrestle with them angels and become men. Or become ladies with the with like girls softball and gymnastics. It's just college sports is more entertaining to me because you're getting to watch young people develop and become who they're going to be.
Right.
And if I can sit there and do it with a big old pile full of hot wings and some blue cheese dressing,
even better. Huh?
Even better. Even better. So cheese congratulations.
Tots.
Yeah.
Cheese tots with bacon.
Yeah,
nachos.
Tachos.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with tachos?
Sort of. Basically, you just, instead of chips, you put everything on.
Yeah, on tater tots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love some tachos.
I never heard that term, but yeah.
Yeah. But those I like are, that. I mean, we got March Madness. I mean, it is March.
Yeah. So what's this is my my ignorance in basketball because I'm more of a football guy like most. What's now you've got two games, what, Wednesday?
I think we're Tuesday and Saturday.
Tuesday this
week.
Tuesday and Saturday. Next weekend is obviously Alabama.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah.
In a meaningless game.
It won't be. I think it's more bragging rights.
Other than pride, yeah.
I think it's more than pride.
Yeah, but the championship is decided. That's over. Alabama's still playing for seeding.
Okay.
Because that lost to Tennessee yesterday.
Right.
Maybe Tennessee takes that number one spot now.
Right.
So, and Alabama's, I mean, they had a gauntlet to end the season. I mean, they still have Florida coming to town.
Right.
And then going to number one Auburn to end the season. And I wish people in this state would get into this sport because it is so much fun to watch. You don't have to wait for March Madness, although love March Madness.
Well, high school basketball is fun to watch.
It is.
Speaking of developing players.
Yeah, exactly.
Mercy. Wow.
I have a high school basketball story from my days in Nashville. I love it when I look back on it. One of my greatest memories is I worked as a campus police officer at a small university in Nashville for a number of years to help pay for tuition, Belmont University. And we hosted high school playoffs. The high school playoffs in Nashville, there's so many schools that all the different colleges in town host high school games at their gyms.
Knew that.
And I was stationed under the goal on one end. And there was one ref that clearly had a bias against one of the teams.
Hmm.
I mean, it was obvious. You know, and I'm just, you know, standing there and this one dad starts yelling at him, "Hey, ref, call it the same way both ways." And the ref looked at me and said, "You know, you can throw him out of the game for that." And I said, "Yeah. And, you know, you could call it the same way both ways. I can throw you out of the game, too." Oh, my gosh. I loved that moment. I mean, he was clearly a biased ref.
Hmm.
And I got to call him out right there. And if he had any words to say, he was the one getting thrown out.
Nice.
And he'd have been getting thrown out with handcuffs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A little bit different authority.
He called it a little differently after that. But I don't know what it was because I didn't know any of these high schools. I didn't grow up in Nashville. I didn't know the names of any of these schools, so I didn't have a dog in the hunt.
Right.
You know, but it was clear that he just did not like one of the schools.
Hmm.
But, man, what was so fun in Nashville is me and my buddies would get together, and we'd go to Hooters and get 100 wings and go to one guy's apartment, or we'd just go to Hooters and stay and just watch game after game, man.
Did you read where they're serving up bankruptcy for Hooters?
Yeah, saw that.
Sadly.
Yeah, and a very distinctive a wing, and then perhaps in bankruptcy they can turn it around, get it salvaged. You know, Godfather's almost went under,
right?
And Kane came in and completely saved the operation.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was Herman Kane. Yeah. Okay, so the guy was literally a rocket scientist, but not just a rocket scientist, the best rocket scientist in the world when he did it. And then he left that, became a captain of industry, and became the best captain of industry in the world.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was a big Herman Kane fan. But we're going to go to break now, 251-343-0106, if you want to get in on the conversationism.
So long, so long. Captain in the make, I'm troubling mine. Hey, 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 hey. But sea was rough, couldn't make no time. So long, so long.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And it is another Joe Kane segment of Sip and Chew with Mikeless Stew. Mike's still over in Gulfport, sleeping off his bacon hangover. Steve was sitting here looking at his page. Mike posted some pictures of the bacon, you say?
Yeah, I mean, all the dishes here at Sully's Gulfport is where they were yesterday, but I'm just trying to determine the dishes, and I thought maybe you could help me on those.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the quesadilla that he got.
I'm looking at the first one there, the one with the looks like a piece of bread with pate in the middle.
Yeah, and that's exactly, well, that is at least a piece of bread.
Yeah. I would call that Texas toast, but that's just me.
Yeah, that is probably crostini. It's probably about that big around.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
What is on the left? Is that a brisket?
That looks like bacon-wrapped pork belly.
Okay, and then on the right,
looks like some kind of a salad. Salad.
The one with the deer antlers. That's definitely
cool.
Bacon.
Yeah, there's bacon on bread there. And looks like three different versions of a BLT, like a bite-sized BLT.
And the cutting board, there's a big old slab.
Yeah.
I wish you'd have named each one of those. That'd have been nice. Yeah.
Oh, the big bacon strips treated like Slim Jims is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's just a plate full of ribs.
Yeah. And beans. It looks like beans there as well in the mason's jar.
Potato salad there
on the next one.
Some looks interesting delicious. Plating.
Big old chunk of cabbage there.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that one with the shredded or broken. What do you call that, shredded?
Oh, that's probably kraut.
Oh, okay.
Maybe sauerkraut.
Looks like.
It could be pulled pork, too.
That's what it was looking like.
Yeah. I got a small monitor over here.
Okay.
And I don't know what the boats are. Are those chicken wings?
I think they're wrapped in bacon. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think those are chicken wings, some kind of sauce dripped on them. Thanks for the descriptions, Mike.
Here, we'd be all right, dude.
That looks like cornbread muffins.
Right. That looks good.
With pork belly in the middle, which wouldn't be bad.
No. And then, of course, the full cookout.
Yeah.
Steen's Cane Syrup Candy Bacon.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Candied bacon.
We're just reviewing.
Yeah, we're looking at Mike's pictures because he didn't leave any notes. He didn't call it in and telling us what he did.
Go to Mike Bailey at Facebook and you'll see the same thing.
Hey, there's Jacqueline Seavey. Mike and I went over to New Orleans a couple of years ago. World Food Championships. They have their big event in one city.
Okay.
And they award 10 champions at that. Each one of them wins $10,000.
Wow.
Then a few months later, those 10 go to another city for a weekend of competition.
Oh, wow.
And they were in New Orleans a couple of years ago. Mike and I drove over to New Orleans, and we were allowed to go in because this isn't open to the public.
Okay.
This is just pretty much media, Food Network, people like that are there. And we got to watch Jacqueline Seavey compete. And when they told us what the final round was going to be, I knew she had won it. The final round was you had to create a traditional Creole New Orleans menu.
Ooh.
She's a chef at Long Beach, Mississippi.
Hello.
Her specialty is Cajun and Creole food.
Duh.
And she knocked it out of the park. Although there was a chef, I believe, who was Indian. Some of his stuff in the preliminaries I got to sample was phenomenal. He came really close on the Cajun Creole stuff. But Jacqueline's wonderful chef and still at the View Casino Resort over there in Biloxi or Gulfport. I forget which one that's in, but she was the executive chef then. She's the executive chef now.
It's in Gulfport.
Yeah.
There on the beach parkway. So.
But that was a great trip. It was at Nalfi, I believe, which is the New Orleans food experiment kind of thing. It's a huge building. It's a culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a bunch of the preeminent chefs in New Orleans involved. They pulled in favors from people that make equipment for restaurants all over the world, and they donated equipment to this thing. And it's the most incredible culinary school I've ever been to. Their workstations in a classroom is kind of like a lab in college. Mm-hmm. It's a long table and two people share it. They were 8-foot tables that were 100% booze block.
Oh, wow.
Which, if you don't know, booze block is these phenomenal butcher blocks.
Ah.
And a small one, you know, that's about 1 foot by 1 foot for your home is several hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
These were 8-foot long tables.
Ooh.
And I think they said each table was $2,000. And then above them, they had, it came from mechanic shops. It was this huge box that was on a cable. You lowered it down, and it was power sources. And that way, whatever appliance you were working with on that day's assignment, be it a stand mixer or a blender or whatever, you just pulled that down. You could plug it into it. When you were done, you pulled it, and it went right back to the ceiling.
Retractable.
Yeah. It just absolutely amazing. They had arenas with stadium seating to watch people cook. So if you ever get over there, check it out. It's the, like I said, I believe it's Nalfi. I'll try and look it up real quick.
What is the typical culinary school length? Is that 2 years, 4 years? What?
It depends. If they're tied into an associate's degree, then it's going to be a 2-year program.
Right.
If it's just ACF certification, it can be as little as 9 months.
Really?
When Culinard was operating here, I think their program was 9 months.
What's the most accepted, I guess, you know?
It all depends on what you're going for. If you just want ACF certification, you can go to a 4-year school and be done in a year.
And ACF, American?
American Culinary Federation.
Okay, I had two out of the three. I didn't know what F stood for. I was thinking American Culinary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the ones that do official certifications for chef, although you don't have to have a certification to be a chef.
Oh.
You just have to know how to cook. And I've never been ACF certified because I didn't go to school. Like I tell people, my culinary school was hard knocks.
Right.
I just went to restaurants and learned from other people that knew more than me.
Well,
is the old school way of doing it. This European model.
I've got to
kind of
take the sidetrack here and revamp. About a week ago, this past Wednesday, I went in and visited you at Butch Cassidy's, and I don't know if you did the burger, mushroom burger and the onion rings, but dude, I'm going to tell you, if anyone wants to know what Stu cooks like. Yeah, go to Butch Cassidy's. Magnificent. It really was.
Yeah. Well, I used Tam's advice on the mushrooms.
Okay.
I used to start them off there. See, I start the day every day cooking 15 pounds of bacon.
Okay.
So I've got a lot of bacon grease. And I would save a little of it, and I would throw all my mushrooms in it and cook them in the bacon grease. And then Tam says, do them in a dry pan.
Okay.
With no oil, no water, or anything. Takes a little longer, but the texture holds up all day long. So that's what I do now. And then when they come off, they go into a container with butter, and I hit them with Montreal steak seasoning.
Man, I'm going to tell you, I enjoyed that for 3 or 4 days later. I really did. I said everything I ate was just like, I need to go back to Butch Cassidy's. The onion rings, you just don't get
really,
the onion rings like those.
Right, hand-cut every day, breaded to order.
Wow.
If you're a mushroom guy, the fried mushroom appetizer.
Okay.
I love fried mushrooms. These are easily the best I've ever had. I love the batter that's on them.
Same batter or is it
nope,
onion
it's
rings?
A batter just for the mushrooms.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a golden crust batter.
Mm-hmm.
The bright yellow.
Ah, and, more of a cornmeal?
I'm not sure what goes in it. It is a mix that we just I haven't even mixed up. I don't work fry.
Okay.
On purpose. I don't want to.
I understand. No, I
mean, I'll help out, pull stuff out of the basket and plate and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I'm not interested in learning that station.
Understood.
Because it's just,
either way, I was just trying to think if it was just, if the batter on the mushrooms is half as good as it was on the onion rings, I'm in 100%.
Yeah, different. But what you got going on with the onion rings is your traditional flour, egg wash flour.
Okay.
And then it is a liquid batter that the mushrooms go into.
The trick is what's in the batter.
I don't know.
Man, I'd love to know
That's why you got to go to Butch Cassidy's to get it.
I get that, yeah.
And, I have broken out one of my fry pans at the house, put a little oil in it, and I did fried catfish nuggets the other night. Hush puppies, hand-cut French fries that I made at home. Blanched the French fries in water for two or 3 minutes, dried them off, patted them dry, stuck them in the freezer until I was ready to cook them. So it was a twice-cooked method, which is what you get at fast food places.
Right.
They're pre-cooked when they arrive at the fast food place frozen. Yeah. Right. It's the best way to do French fries. It was invented by Lamb's Potato Company, I believe, the process. As opposed to cooking them one time, which, if you want an example of that, that's Five Guys. That's a single cooking. And they don't crisp up as much and like that, but they're still delicious. I love Five Guys fries.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me the entire bottle of malt vinegar on those puppies. the fries are a vehicle for the malt vinegar. 251-343-0106 is our call line, and we're going to be called by Andrew Manis here in the next half. We're going to talk about Hunter Fietti coming to the Port City.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And welcome back to the Joe Kane edition of Sip and Chew with Mikeless Stu. Mike again is over on the Mississippi Gulf Coast sleeping off a bacon hangover, but I brought in a ringer. We've got Andrew Manis from Cottage Hill Package Store and Havana Ray Cigar Shop online. Andrew, let me start off by saying my condolences on Ray. Wonderful man, and he will be missed.
Guys, I really appreciate that. You know, he had a wonderful life, man. He lived for 83 years, and his ride that he had was, something special, man.
Yeah, he lived every minute of those 83 years.
Yep. You know, he traveled all around the world, coming from Cuba at 18 years old, and man, he ended up in, his first stop was New Orleans, but then he was in Miami, New York, Las Vegas, Memphis, London, Spain, Luxembourg is where he met my mom, and they moved to Nassau, Bahamas, then back to Miami, and he ended up in Mobile for 51 years. So he lived a great life, and he's done a lot, and his journey was is something else, and kind of hard to beat, so I appreciate it. And we're going to keep on trucking on, and his legacy will live on through all of us. And he's got three kids that work in the business, and we're just going to keep trying to do what he would always want us to do. So that's work.
Yep. No stranger to work, man. He's from the generation that that wasn't always looking forward to an off day. They was just wanting to know, what do I got to do today?
Yep, that's right. He worked 7 days a week, so. And at his age, that was quite impressive. So hard to match that one. So we'll see what we can do.
So Mike tells me that Hunter Fietti is coming for a visit. Can you tell us what's going on with that?
Sure. Yeah, he is. He'll be here in Mobile on Thursday. We're doing a wine event with Hunter, who is one of two sons of Guys.
Right.
And, you know, together, Hunter and Ryder, along with the guidance of their father, Guy, created a wine called Hunt and Ride Winery.
Really?
So they have a, and they're actually really nice wines. I've had a lot of them. And with Hunter, and he's a super guy. He's kind of cut from the same mold as his dad, so he's one of those guys. But the wine that we're going to sample will be a Chardonnay, an Old Vine Zinfandel,
ooh,
and a red blend. They've got a lot of rewards. They're from the northern part of California, and you know, the event will start at 6 o'clock at Havana Rays, and then we're also featuring his dad's cigars, and, knuckle sandwich. So, you know, I'm going to tell you a quick story. You know, when he came to our shop for an event, when I introduced him, I said, "Hey, we have Guy Fieri here with Knucklehead Cigars." And he looked at me, and he had a few choice words, and he said, "Man, you messed that up. It's Knuckle Sandwich, not Knucklehead." So there's been countless times that I've gotten some texts from people that he works with and said, "Hey, Knucklehead, how's it going?" I know exactly what they're talking about. And, you know, but hey, you only get one time to make a great impression, and I think I made a great impression on him. So.
Well, you got a nickname out of it, so I guess it worked.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, you know, the event will be this Thursday at 6 o'clock, and it will go, you know, until whenever it goes. And as usual, we're looking forward to a nice crowd and good times. And, you know, hey, Mardi Gras will be over, but our times will keep rolling. So
yeah, exactly. You'll actually be able to, you know, park. You know, I was at the event when Guy came down to Havana Rays, and that was my first time being back in the building. I had been the lunch chef at Little House Midtown when it was in that same location.
Oh, yeah.
That we had leased it from Osman. And the chef de cuisine there, John Gibson, had worked for Guy out in California, as well as Thomas Keller. John was one of the most accomplished chefs to ever come through the Mobile area, and he's got a place now on the Georgia coast, north of Savannah.
Huh.
And he's hiring people to come out there, and it's on an island. And he's tempting me. He's tempting me, but
is that Amelia Island?
It may be. It is north
of Amelia Island. Right.
But he had worked for Guy before, and when the first time he rolled up here, we were having our first staff meeting for Little House Midtown, and I mean, John had just driven from California and pulled into the parking lot. He hadn't even been to an apartment yet, and he pulls up in a Dodge Charger, a new one, and he's got the earring, he's got that whole Guy Fieri California look going on, and I was just like, yeah, we're going to get along well.
Oh, yeah. Now, what's not to like about a guy that came from, you know, being buddies with Guy?
Right? Exactly. Now, for people who aren't familiar with Hunter Fieri, if you watch Tournament of Champions, which is the best show on Food Network, I think, where Guy Fieri has handpicked 32, I think it is, chefs from all over the country to compete in head-to-head competitions, they go to a green room while the judges are tasting, and Hunter's handling the green room interviews. So you've all seen him. He's got good charisma, good-looking young man. I believe he went to UNLV just like his dad did. So
I believe so. I believe so.
Yeah. So
he's a great young man, and you know he's a rising star in that business. And I think he might even maybe one day try to follow in his dad's footsteps. And you know, hey, if he's got anything like his dad, you know, which he does, he'll. We'll have a good shot at that.
Yeah, but. He will. So you're going to be sampling the three wines. Is there going to be any kind of anything to nibble on other than the cigars?
You know what? We're going to tempt some people here with maybe a little bit of Cuban food.
Picadillo?
To kind of honor my dad. Yeah. You know what? I cooked some of that the other night. It was out of this world. we might throw something together like that. So
some black beans and rice is all you need, man.
I tell you what, the black beans and rice, it's going to be very hard to get them like my dad's was, man. But we'll try. But like I said, if we can just do things half as good as he did, it'll be good. So
sounds good.
I tell you, man, I was just listening to the show, and I think I just put on 4 pounds thinking about that mushroom hamburger.
the mushroom Swiss burger at Butch Cassidy's.
It's about 4 inches, okay?
Yeah, it's a 5-ounce patty, yeah.
And 2 inches thick, or at least an inch and a half thick by the time you get into onion rings. I'm going to tell you, man, Andy, you just don't get any better than that. Except now you've got me curious about your black beans and rice. I want to know what goes into that.
I was just talking with a friend of mine online yesterday who's originally from Fort Lauderdale. And she was so excited because her favorite Cuban restaurant in Nashville mm-hmm. had just reopened near her apartment. She said they'd been closed since COVID. And I said, you know, the first Cuban food I ever had was in Nashville at this little place hidden away off of Harding Place and I-65. And she goes, that's them. And I said, well, that was 1998 when I ate there. And she said, yeah, that's them. They're still going strong. And we had black beans and rice. I had my first Cubano, which I think is one of the great sandwiches in the world. I don't know if it actually comes from Cuba, but it is credited to the Cuban community, and it is one of the best sandwiches in America.
Oh, I believe that wholeheartedly. It is, and I've consumed, you know, a few hundred dozen of them. So, you know, that's the only thing that I never got to eat from my dad because he never really made that. So, but you know, the picadillo, ropa vieja, you know, some shrimp and with his special red sauce he would make.
Oh, that sounds warm.
The black beans and rice, and the, you know, the fried yuca and. Yeah. You know, sweet plantains.
Tostones.
You know, it just tostones. It doesn't even get better than that to me. But,
yeah.
You know, that's what I was raised on. And unfortunately, that's how my waistline followed. So.
Well, since your other venture is Cottage Hill Package Store, since I got you on the line, I want to talk to you about a whiskey that I had last week at Lemoyne's Chop House.
Okay.
My first Japanese whiskey. It was the Hibiki Japanese Harmony.
Right.
Just beautiful. It was so smooth.
Right.
No
You
burn.
Know, the Japanese are making such exquisite whiskeys. You know, obviously they can't call them bourbon, but they're different. They're whiskeys. But those people are so meticulous on what they do.
Right.
Everything that they put out, that the Hibiki Harmony is out of this world. It's a 12-year-old. And it's too smooth.
Yeah, it's dangerously smooth, isn't it?
It is, and we do have it. I know exactly where it is on my shelf, and I might even have to go get a bottle tonight after I quit doing my crepe myrtle today.
And I'm a Scotch guy, and let's see if you can expound on my girlfriend a few years ago got me a bottle of Ardbeg, 12-year-old. Uh-huh. One of the best scotches I've ever had in my life. Very peaty, a good charcoalness on the end of it. And I have been. What was that?
That's a great bottle of scotch. The peatiness in there is, you know, very smooth and subtle, and it's everything you want in a peaty scotch. So
yeah, and I've been nursing that bottle for about 4 years now because I don't want to take the last glass. Yeah. I want to know that I've always got one more glass of that in there. It's so good.
Hey, I tell you what, I've got 25 ounces sitting on my shelf right now for you. So when you finish that one, you know where to go. And, you know, I tell you, if I may say this online, you know, there's so much appreciation we have for our community. This year, we're celebrating 50 years at Cottage Hill Package.
Wow.
You know, and we owe it all to the community. You know, we look at our customers more as friends, you know, and there's a ton of friendships that we've gained from there. And to me, that's what a small business is about, you know, along with customer service. And that's what we strive to do. And, you know, it's just been a beautiful thing. I've been working with my father for 30 years and, you know, been doing a lot of it with Mike Bailey. So, you know, I can't thank the community enough, and it's because of them, you know, that we've been there that many years. So we appreciate everything from Mobile and the surrounding counties, and, you know, we're going to keep on trucking because that's what my father would like to do. So,
well, all right, Andrew, appreciate you being on here this morning and telling us about the event and reminiscing about your dad and talking about whiskey. I'll probably see you Thursday night, but right now we got to run to break, buddy.
Okay. Well, today enjoy you can sip on a nice cold beverage and chew on a nice cigar. So you guys have a great day today, okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm just listening to the music, getting in the mood. It is Joe Kane Day, and you just heard a history lesson on who Joe Kane was during the commercial break. Nice little segment there. And a lot of people downtown today, as there are this time of year. Weather's going to be pretty darn good for it. Little brisk, but a few drinks in, they won't feel it.
Right.
So to celebrate Joe Kane Day, I'm going to not go anywhere near downtown Mobile. I am about to head out to 8 Mile and check out the newly renovated and reopened Chickasabogue Park.
Ah.
And I like the plans that they've got there. I think this is 1,100 square acres that the park is out there. It's on Chickasaw Creek, or as the Creek tribe called it, the Chickasabogue. And I'm just going to take a little walk around, see what they've got. They're supposed to have 17 miles of hiking and biking trails. It's not complete. There's still about another 2 years on it. I don't think the beach area is ready. They're going to put jetties up that protect the people swimming on the beach from the boat traffic going by. And I don't think that's complete yet. There's going to be a really nice boat ramp going in. They got RV spots out there now, so you can actually go camping at Chickasabogue. And I'm really interested in that, because if they do the primitive camping, I can see myself waking up on Chickasabogue a bunch this spring, because that would be the closest park on the Delta to where I live. I could probably be there in 15 or 20 minutes. So I'm going to go take a look at it, and I'm going to shoot an episode of Delta Safari, so that if you don't want to go out and walk around yourself Tuesday when it drops on YouTube, you can just watch the video. And I did similar videos when Escatawba Hollow opened up. I went out there and hiked around it, took a look at the beach and the facilities. There's so much going on with the parks system in Mobile County right now. I think they got like a $40 million grant.
Wow.
Or it's a $40 million project to upgrade the parks. The Bayfront Park on DIP, just before you get to Dolphin Island, the little one on the left, is not a little one anymore. They have greatly expanded it, and it should be opening to the public here probably in the next month or so. A much bigger beach, much better playground for the kids. And I'm anxious to take a look at it. To me, parks, libraries, law enforcement, and military are the only thing I really get back from my tax dollars. Everything else goes to other things that don't really affect my personal life as much. So I take advantage of the parks. I love county parks, city parks, state parks, and, of course, national parks. And we're making cuts in those parts of the federal government right now. Well, there's a good deal of waste there. So let's cut the waste out. Do you know, Steve, one of the most unique national parks in the entire system is less than 2 hours from us in New Orleans?
Really?
And that is the New Orleans Jazz Heritage National Park. It is the only national park that is not one piece of land set aside. It's different establishments scattered around the French Quarter that make it up. And that's why it's so different. It's just this place, and like Preservation Hall, Jazz Hall venue, legendary, would be one of the places that would be on there. Congo Park, I think, is part of it. So I love parks, and I also love the best part of going on a hike, Steve, and that is the post-hike meal.
Ah,
and
you're talking.
Yeah. When you get out in nature, just a little bit, like 30 minutes out, away from everything, your senses, your natural senses begin to awaken. You don't realize how much, because of us living in an urban environment, our senses have squelched. Our sense of smell, our vision, our hearing are all squelch. They're clamped down on to keep us from suffering from overload. So once you get out in nature and you get back to just those few things, you have this wonderful reawakening of your senses. And then you get out there and you hike for, you know, 2 or 3 hours. You build up, you burn a lot of calories, you build up a hunger. The next meal you eat after a really good hike is going to be one of the best meals you've ever eaten in your life. Just amazing. So that's one of the things that I like about going to the parks and hiking is those post-hike meals. And you get out there at Chickasabogue, and you've got J. Rogers Barbecue right down the road. You got Aztecas there in Saraland. So many great places to eat. So I want to go out there. I want to hike. I want to fish. I want to hunt. I want to camp out. And then I want to have a really good meal. And I'm telling you, man, a pulled pork sandwich after a day of hiking is absolutely one of the best pulled pork sandwiches you'll ever have. A year or so ago, I went. Luke and I went hiking up at Little River Canyon in Cheeha, and I came down off the mountain in Cheeha into the town of Talladega, and I found this shack on the side of the road that only sold barbecue to go, and I went in and got a pulled pork sandwich and took it to yet another park, just a little, it was like a honor park for military, right around the corner. And I sat out there and ate that pulled pork sandwich. And it was so good after hiking up Cheeha Mountain all day. And that's just one of my favorite things. Another thing I like after a hike is just a really good burger, like you were talking about at Butch Cassidy's earlier. And or Hero's, a really good burger like from there, or Callahan's. I mean a really good restaurant-style big burger.
Right.
What I would like to have is the burger from this little dive bar in New Orleans. It's very famous, called Port a Call.
Okay.
And they get it. If you want a medium rare burger, they don't mash it down. They leave it really thick so that they can still get it good and charred on the outside. That burger arrived on my table, and it was the burger of my dreams. About almost an inch thick, nice char on the outside, nice and medium rare all the way through it. And they got one kind of cheese, shredded cheddar, and they're not going to melt it.
Really?
Nope. It's a dive bar. Their options are filet mignon, New York strip, Caesar salad, cheeseburger.
So you do it as chunks.
Yeah, and okay. They just have shredded cheese for putting in the baked potatoes because they don't do French fries. Nothing's fried. And it was just the best burger I've ever had. Just straightforward burger, not anything fancy. Just phenomenal. And that's one of the reasons that I love hiking and getting in the outdoors so much is because I love to eat, and it just really enhances a meal.
So when you do the pulled pork, do you do the baked beans?
If I can get them, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that would be something after.
It would be on the side with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, especially if they got baked beans are good at the barbecue place. But the one in Cheeha there, I just got the pulled pork sandwich and a sweet tea. And I learned a little something about sweet tea recently. We all feel like that it energizes us, you know, and which seems to go against the grain. Well, it's got caffeine.
Yeah.
It doesn't really energize you that much. It kind of drains you down.
Yeah.
It gives you a false high. Well, tea it dehydrates you. That's what the caffeine does. It dehydrates you. Well, tea is also a natural source of electrolytes, which rehydrate you. So that's why tea is so much more refreshing than, say, a soda or Kool-Aid or anything like that. It's because it's got natural electrolytes in it.
Ah.
And that kind of counters the dehydration that you get with caffeine being a diuretic.
Hmm.
So a sweet tea and a pulled pork sandwich after a hike is just about as good as life gets. And it's so simple. Hiking doesn't cost you anything. You're just walking in the woods. So when you walk into the woods, remember to tip your server. Servers walking in the woods, remember to earn your tip.
Wow.
And when you're in the woods, whatever you do, provolone.